morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. This is the program where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes, and today we're going to add another scheme, which is partly religious, partly political, certainly economic, to the list of schemes that need to be skewered. It'll be the myth of global warming. But we're also going to talk about climate change and whether it was predicted, and if so, by whom? So instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to explain the motivations behind what is being said, as well as what these events portend for our future. Then during our second hour, we're actually going to continue this same thing, because I'm going to actually present what Yahweh predicted would occur in the last days. And we will have a chance to evaluate whether or not this information was provided just to prove that he inspired his testimony, because it is precisely accurate, or whether it is actually a warning to us that God is going to hold us accountable for what we have done. Our number, should you like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that I have to say during today's program, is 877-300-7645. The only thing I ask today is that since we have a lot of ground to cover, if you wish to engage, please do so on this particular topic. And as I have read the various chat rooms that exist surrounding this show and the emails from listeners, there is one aspect of this that there is considerable consternation over that I'm not going to claim that I have the answer to. I'm just going to tell you that God has in the past intervened in human affairs to judge human affairs and to judge human institutions. And he will in the future intervene to judge and hold human institutions and those leading them accountable for all that they have done. The question then is whether or not the events that we are witnessing around the world are a consequence of God beginning to engage again, judging humankind, holding humankind accountable for all of the hell that we have wrought on one another, or whether or not that judgment is still reserved for a later time. Don't know the answer for certain, and so I am open to clarification. But we're going to consider that. To begin, let's start with the news. Reuters, the Washington Post, and a combined article from Bloomberg and Business Week are the three news articles that we're going to consider, which prompted the remainder of today's program. Reuters. Monday's mammoth storm has caused severe flooding, damage and fatalities to the eastern United States. And it will raise pressure on Congress and the next president to address the impacts of climate change as the price tag for extreme weather disasters, and especially as they continue to escalate. There was a program on the Today Show where one of the hosts of the Today Show was interviewing a PhD in meteorology. And they were talking about the Superstorm Sandy. And they said, you know, just not as a scientist as a moment, just as a casual observer, as you look at what is happening as relative to the this onslaught of severe storms, do you think this is something we should be concerned about? Is there a trend or pattern here? I mean, not apart from global warming, is there something happening here that is causing this? He said, absolutely yes. The Washington Post says many people, this is a editorial that is being talked about by a lot of people in the media today. Many people on the East Coast were unable to go to work Monday or Tuesday because of Hurricane Sandy, an unusual storm fueled by the unusually warm waters of the Atlantic Ocean. Now, what he didn't say here is that while there is a spot in the Atlantic Ocean that's unusually warm, overall, the oceans are are the temperature of the oceans are no different than they were 16 years ago. No difference at all. Overall, the aggregate temperature of the world's oceans isn't even a fraction of a degree warmer than they were 16 years ago. The other thing he doesn't want to mention is that the reason this storm was so hellacious wasn't because there was a portion of the Atlantic Ocean that was warmer than normal, but because of the cold air, the abnormally cold air that lurked to the west of it and to the north of it. And that's what fueled this storm. It's what made a storm that never rose above Category 1 and wasn't even a hurricane when it hit land, it's what made it so severe. That's why we talk so much about the nature of this unique storm. But he doesn't want to mention the cold that actually drove it. So why do the presidential campaigns continue to ignore the issue of climate change? Now, you notice that previously it was always global warming, but now it's climate change. Now, the fact of the matter is, climates are changing. Global warming, that's not the reason. The biggest topic is the economy, but climate change is definitely a drag on the economy and will continue to be for generations. It seems that it has recently contributed to the drought in the Midwest and the fires in the West. Yeah, climate change has contributed to those things. But in realism, if you just want to be realistic about this whole thing, the droughts in the Midwest are part of a cycle that we can trace back many hundreds of years, both in their severity, frequency, and timing. If we can win World War II and we can create the Marshall Plan, boy, talk about winning World War II. You know, we talk about winning that war. Think about that. Winning is defined as sacrificing the lives of 350,000 of your sons and daughters to avenge the death of 3,000. And then to further avenge the deaths of 3,000 to kill millions of your opponents, women and children. That's defined as winning, killing, destroying, acts of ungodly terrorism. But if we can win, as this individual writes, World War II, we can find effective ways to come together to preserve and protect our planet and all things that live on it, including ourselves. Of course, this is begs the conclusion. It implies that we caused the problem and that we humans can fix it. That is hubris in the extreme. We didn't cause it. We can't fix it. We are essentially inconsequential as it relates to the problem of climate change, and there is nothing we can do to resolve it. But there's this notion that that our productivity, our industrial might, our consumerism as an attitude is what has caused it. It's not true. When people cannot go to work, when they lose their homes, crops and livestock, and eventually their dreams, it gets to be about the economy. Stupid. You know, the whole myth of global warming was about the economy. It was about wealth redistribution. It was about control. That's all it was ever about. It's about instilling fear so that people can be coerced into submitting to authority. Bloomberg and the in combination with Business Week wrote an article that that people might believe, even though they didn't believe it when the general manager of Chrysler and the Jeep brand told Bloomberg last week that they were considering moving Jeep production to China and were well into the discussions to do so. But now they are saying Yes, yes, it's unsophisticated to blame any given storm on climate change. Men and women in white lab coats tell us, and they're right, that many factors contribute to each severe weather episode. Climate deniers exploit scientific complexity to avoid any discussion at all. Clarity, however, is not beyond reach. Hurricane Sandy demands it. At least 40 U.S. deaths, economic losses expected to climb as high as $50 billion, 8 million homes without power, hundreds of thousands of people evacuated, more than 15,000 flights grounded, factory stores and hospitals shut, lower Manhattan dark, silent and underwater. Yeah, that's a pretty good recap of Hurricane Sandy. But this implication that humankind caused it is arrogant in the extreme. An unscientific survey of the social networking literature on Sandy reveals an illuminating tweet. Yes, you read that correctly, a tweet from Jonathan Foley, director of the Institute of Environment at the University of Minnesota. On October 29th, Foley thumbed thusly, "Would this kind of storm happen without climate change? Yes. Fueled by many factors, is the storm stronger because of climate change? Yes," end quote. Eric Pooley, Senior Vice President of Environmental Defense Forum, the former Deputy Editor of Bloomberg and Businessweek, offers a baseball analogy. "We can't say that steroids caused any home run by Barry Bonds, but steroids sure helped him hit more and hit them further. Now we have weather on steroids." Yes, we have accelerated weather patterns, also earthquakes, both hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, and earthquakes are increasing in power and frequency. Gee, I wonder who told us that. In an October 30th blog post, Mark Fichetti's of Scientific American took a spin through PhD land and found more and more credible experts willing to shrug off the climate caveats. The broadening consensus, quote, "climate change amps up other basic factors that contribute to big storms. For example, the oceans have warmed, providing more energy for storms, and the Earth's atmosphere has warmed, so it retains more moisture, which is drawn into storms and then dumped on us. Even those who are scientific phobic can get a gist of that, except for the fact it's not fact. It's not true." To Shattering Myths, I am your host, Yada. We're skewering the myth of global warming, which has now become climate change, because climate change is happening. It has always happened on this planet. It will continue to happen on this planet. There is, however, a more recent trend, one that was actually predicted over 3,000 years ago. Then we will consider those predictions in a moment. This particular article that was written by to appear in Bloomberg Businessweek goes on to say, on October 17th, the giant, before I say this, let me just go back to what we talked about in the last segment, where I said that the facts that there have been, that the Earth's atmosphere has warmed, that the Earth's oceans have warmed, I'm inferring that the overall tendency of the Earth has been to get warmer over these recent years. That's factually untrue. Now, is it a outright lie or is it a half-truth? Yeah, it's more in the half-truth. You see, there are places where you can measure the temperature today in the atmosphere and it's warmer than it was yesterday. There's places that you can measure the temperature in the ocean today and it was warmer, and it's warmer than it was yesterday. Even some places warmer than it was a year ago or 2 years ago or even 15 years ago. But if you take the aggregate temperature of the world's oceans today and compare them to 15 or 16 years ago, and you take the aggregate temperature of the world's atmosphere and places on land, and you compare them, 3,000 of them, to the same readings 15 years ago, you will find that they have not changed one iota. It is a lie. The Earth, over these past 15 or 16 years has not warmed. Statement of fact. If you go back to 15 years before that, minimal warming. If you go back to 40 years prior to that, cooling. There is no global warming, folks. It is a myth. Now, going on. On October 17th, the giant German reinsurance company, Munich Re, issued a report titled Severe Weather in North America. Globally, the rate of extreme weather events is rising. Ah, now that's true. Not only do we find a sharp increase in the number of extreme weather events, you also find a rise both in the frequency and magnitude of earthquakes. Both are enormous. These are not, it's not like it's 30% or 40% worse than it was 100 years ago. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about enormous changes in the power and frequency of major events relative to the movement of either the earth or the atmosphere or the seas. And so they say the extreme weather events are rising. Nowhere in the world is the rising number of natural catastrophes more evident than in North America, end quote. From 1980 through 2011, weather disasters caused losses totaling $1.06 trillion. Munich Re found, quote, a nearly quintupled, that would be five times, that'd be 600%, number of weather-related loss events in North America for the past three decades. So if you go back 30 years, you will find a 600% rise, a 600% increase in losses directly related to weather events in North America. By contrast, there was an increase factor of four times in Asia, 500% increase in Asia. Again, we're not talking about 10%, which would be meaningful, 20%, which would be very significant, 30%, which would be alarming. No, we're talking about 500%, 600% change in 30 years. This is back to the analogy of birth banks, increasing in frequency and in strength. So by contrast, the factor is 4 in Asia, 2.5 in Africa, 2 in Europe, and 1.5 in South America. Human cause, but that's now strictly weather. If you were to add into that earthquakes, things like South America, which has been just devastated by earthquakes here in the last two decades, then they seem to model the United States, North America. Human-caused climate change, this story opines, quote, is believed to contribute to this trend, though it influences various perils in different ways, end quote. Human-caused climate change. Now, we used to call it human-caused global warming. Except since that can't be proved, it's now human-caused climate change. There is no data to support that. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yana. We're talking about the lie that is global warming. And as it would materialize, here's the next line from the Bloomberg Business Week editorial. It says, global warming particularly affects formation of heat waves, droughts, intense precipitation events, and in the long run, most probably also tropical cyclone intensity, end quote. Now, the fact that there is no global warming would mean that that's not what is affecting those things. That's not what is influencing those things. We have climate change. We have a radical 5 to 600% increase in the power and frequency of weather-related events of catastrophic proportions and of earthquakes. Both have increased geometrically. But they aren't a result of global warming. And to blame it on global warming, the purpose of perpetrating that lie is to make it look like man is responsible, and therefore those who wish to control others have a mechanism to do so. But let's go on here. This July, this Business Week now is writing this, Bloomberg Business Week. This July was the hottest month recorded in the U.S. since record-keeping began in 1985. This July was the hottest month recorded in the U.S. since record-keeping began in 1895, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The U.S. Drought Monitor reported that two-thirds of the continental U.S. suffered drought conditions this summer. That's what you call a half-truth. This is the way that Satan beguiled Chawa and thusly Adam in the Garden of Eden. He took something out of context, misquoted it, twisted it to serve his agenda. That's what was done here. Is it possible that July was the hottest month recorded in the U.S. since record-keeping began in 1895? Yep. But I'm going to bring your attention back to the foremost authority on climate change and global warming in the world here in just a moment. But also, record-keeping began in the United States in 1895. The whole global warming mythos is based on a start date of 1880. And record-keeping began in 1895 in the United States. When do you think it began in Africa, in South America? When do you think it began throughout most of Asia and the Pacific Islands? If it began in 1895 in the United States, how in the world can you, with any validity or credibility, say that the standard that we are witnessing here commences in 1880? With any kind of reliability. And even then, the difference between that mythological temperature that wasn't even recorded in the United States in 1880 is 0.75 degrees. This is the article I read yesterday. It came from the BBC that was reported out of a release from the principal climate change, the principal global warming clearinghouse, the United States, the place that monitors all 3,000 of the temperature gauges that we have across this far-flung planet. And what they reported is the world stopped getting warmer 16 years ago, according to new data released last week. The figures which have triggered debate among climate scientists reveal that from the beginning of 1997 until August of 2012, there was no discernible rise in aggregate global temperatures. July of 2012 was the month that he cited. And he knew full well that if you take, even including July, and go through August of 2012, the 16 years from 1997 to virtually the end of 2012, August of 2012, there was no change at all. And so he took 1 month out of that to try to demonstrate his point. When he knew full well, because this article and the release of this information from the Great Britain office that monitors it had been released to the world a week prior to his editorial. And it went through July of 2012. It went through August of 2012. That's how half-truths are wielded to deceive. It goes on to say, this means that the plateau or pause is now lasted for about the same as the previous period when temperatures rose slightly from 1980 to 1996. Before that, temperatures had been stable or declining for 40 years. The new data, compiled from more than 3,000 measuring points on land and sea, was issued quietly on the Internet without any media fanfare. This stands in sharp contrast to the release of the previous figures 6 months ago, which went only to the end of 2010, a very warm year. Ending the data means that there means that it's possible to show a slight warming trend since 1997. But 2011 and the first months of 2012 were much cooler, and thus the trend was erased. So why does the media lie? But they've lied. Caught red-handed. They lied. Why did they lie? What is the reason? I mean, it's not just Business Week and Bloomberg that are lying. It's not just the Washington Post that's lying. It's not just Reuters that's lying. It's not just academicians that are lying. The lie is universal. Why are they lying? What do they have to gain? Particularly the media and academia. Why are they lying? Because they're liberal. And therefore, they seek universal control, collectivization, wealth redistribution. And while they know that these objectives have all been tried, control, collectivization, wealth redistribution, and that they have consistently failed, making people less free, less productive, and less content, these things have also made the masses less willing to stand up against the crowd and fight for what's right. And just like the pervasive nature of political correctness in academia, global warming is taught as a fact in schools. So it won't be long before any voice that opposes this lie will be discounted with the voice labeled a kook. Climate change is, however, a reality, something that was predicted by Yahweh. Now, before I get to a mountain of evidence that Yahweh provided that helps us understand this, and I'm going to reprise a statement that Yahweh made in the Yirmiyahu 23 discussion about the end times and the birth pangs and the storm that God said were going to be brought down upon us. I'm going to do that, and then we're going to transfer our attention to Zechariah, and then even to Yahusha's words in Matthew. And so there are three places that we're going to turn for God's prediction that these things would occur, and Him also telling us why they would occur at this time. But Larry, I know you're on hold here and you're interested in contributing to this discussion. Before we consider Yah's predictions, what have you to say, Larry?
Well, they had a couple thousand emails that leaked out that showed that their temperature data was faulty and fraudulent.
Yes.
That's one thing. So
yeah. Well, before you go on that, I reported on that back in the days of Yada Yada Radio, that there was an enormous embarrassment that because not only was the data destroyed, but that there was evidence before the data was destroyed that much of it was fabricated that indicated the global warming trend during that 15 years where there was a slight increase. And that now there is no proof of fabrication because there's no data. Do you recall who reported that? Because there were a number of places where it reported, and the reports were very credible that this indeed had happened.
It was all over Drudge. I mean, I was reading the emails. It was all over FB. It was all over the Drudge report. It was AP. It was everybody. I mean, once the story broke, everybody jumped on it. There were 20 mainline.
Yeah, I remember reporting it. I remember finding it in being reported in many highly credible sources. But if you have a chance, since you probably retain some of that data, send it my way by way of email. I would appreciate it, and I'll cover that as well. So what I'm not talking, by the way, what I'm talking about here is that while that's true, and I'm glad you brought it up, that the previous evidence for global warming prior to this news release here a week ago that shows that the Earth's not warming at all, that prior to that, the claim of global warming was comprised of fabricated data, which has now been destroyed. So this lie goes deeper and further than most people are willing to admit. It is the whole case has been fabricated right from the beginning.
Well, they have some. Well, we know why, because then they can tax. It's an extra tax. They're already levying that tax, you know, over in Europe and on the
right.
The British people. And
the Kyoto Accords, which is all wealth redistribution, but it's now wealth redistribution between nations, not just in a nation.
Right.
And that's what they want. Because if you can redistribute wealth, what you do is you cause people to become dependent upon government. Once they are dependent on government, they're extraordinarily easy to control.
Well, plus they get their piece of the pie. It's just like anything else. You know, you take a welfare recipient, you know, and they get 22 cents of every intended dollar or something that's supposed to go to them. That's because bureaucracy eats up the rest. Yep. They all take their piece of the pie, right?
Yep.
One of the things that is shockingly obvious to me is that you have all these associations like the Meteorological Society and Union of Concerned Scientists and so forth, that there's no consensus at all about global warming, but yet the UN manages it. It was an Indian fellow that made this up. He saw ice melting on Mount Kilimanjaro or something, and he came up with this theory. And then they march out 300 bureaucrats, they put white coats on them, and they call them elite scientists. You know, it's the same game they play at the Club of Rome. And
we're to a heartbreak, Larry, so we'll be back in a moment. This is Shattering Myths. To Shattering Myths. We're about to discuss, as we have in previous shows, Yah's prediction that this would happen. And so let's turn initially to Yirmiyahu 23. This is the 19th verse, and we're also going to consider the 20th verse. We're going to consider the 19th because it tells us what and why, and the 20th tells us when. Behold, the storm of Yahweh's displeasure. It shall go forth, giving birth to a storm of destructive force upon the source of wickedness, swirling down as birth pangs upon them. So, God has predicted storms of destructive force, swirling down as birth pangs, which means getting more frequent and stronger, and he has indicated that this is a result of his displeasure, and that the primary recipients of such destructive forces will be the very source of wickedness, criminal behavior, guilty, unrighteous, evil behavior, and teachings. It goes on to say, Yahweh's anger will not return until he is actually done working, until he takes his stand on behalf of, establishes, confirms, and validates the decisions and plans of his heart. So this seems to indicate that that while we are seeing these storms increase in frequency and force, that they aren't yet a product of his frustration with us, but simply him telling us that this is going to manifest this way and where they're going to primarily occur. Then it goes on to say, in the last days, you will all come to this realization, and you will do so by way of consideration and understanding, which is precisely what we're doing now. All right, so the only question there that is unanswered, and we're going to talk more about earthquakes and severe storms, tsunamis and tornadoes and hurricanes. And so there is no doubt that God predicted that this would happen in the last days, and equated them to birth pangs, which tells us about frequency and intensity. But the question remains, is God himself the cause of them? And this passage seems to say, yes, but not now, but that he will. Now, before we debate that, because I can't tell you anything more than what I've read here, which is that yes, he said that he will be the cause of these things, but he is not yet now the cause of them, because he's not finished working on our behalf. He still has to fulfill Teruah, Yom Kippurim, and Sukkah. There are there's a couple of things to think about here. One is that God has in the past acted in this way. He did so with the flood during Noah's day. He did so with Egypt. He has done so at other times and in other places. And he has said that he will do so in the future. The second thing to think about here is that the universe that we enjoy, our planet and life on it, is all a result of a giant and very complex calculation. God determined exactly how much energy he had to put into the system to create the universe as we live in it, a universe that would be that would accommodate life on this planet, and that where the history of that life on this planet would fit his specific timeline. And he has delineated the timeline. And so if he were capable of calculating the exact amount of energy required to make a universe that was hospitable to life and that and a timeline that was consistent with his specific plans and purpose, he most certainly would have been able to calculate the amount of energy required to have the Earth become more violent as a consequence of human violence against humankind in the last days preceding his return, as birth pangs to warn us, to tell us, take note of this. I told you this was going to happen. I told you why it was going to happen. I told you when it was going to happen. I even told you how it was going to happen, so that you'd open your eyes and be aware of what is happening all around you. And I think that, to a large degree, is true. Now, when we return from the break, we are going to turn our attention to one of the most exciting of all revelations, that through Zechariah. And we'll compare some of the things that are revealed there by Yahweh to some of the things that Yahusha said during his Olivet Discourse.
Over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most